Heavenly Father, we love you and praise you, Lord. Lord, you made this day. Lord, and you woke us up this morning, Lord, filled with joy. That's what you said, Lord, to enter this day with thanksgiving, rejoicing, filled with joy, Lord. And we do that. We've done that, Lord, and you have been with us, and the anointing is strong here today. Your presence is here, Lord. And you're ministering even now, Lord, as we open up your word and look into your word. It's maybe your word, Lord, spoken this day through my lips, Lord. Your heart to hearts that are ready to receive. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We are continuing our sermon series, our Christmas series called God with Us. God with us. Our foundational scriptures are two. One is from Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. And then from Matthew 1:22-23. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. One thing we need to realize, and we do, especially this morning, God is with us. God is with us. He's with us when we collectively come together in worship, where two or three are gathered in my name. There I am in the midst thereof. He's with you when you're with others that call upon the name of the Lord. But he never leaves you nor forsakes you. He goes with you. Isaiah 41:10 says this, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Psalms 23:4 says this, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Have you been there before? Have you been there? We all have. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then Matthew 28:20 says this, Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. This is the Great Commission. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The Lord is with us. And that's what these scriptures, the one in Isaiah, foretold, that his name will be called God with us. God with us. Emmanuel. Praise God. So he is with us. And that's what we've been talking about. That's what we're going to talk about this week and next week. Last week, we talked about the scripture from Isaiah 9:6. And we made a point, a pretty strong point, that manger story did not end that first morning. No, it's alive today. It's alive today. Isaiah 9:6 says this, For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And I made a point. That's a funny thing to say about a baby that's newly born. The government shall be upon his shoulder. But it is coming to pass even now. Satan's doing everything he can to thwart it. You see a rise in anti-Semitism all over the world. Jewish hatred all over the world. Why? Because of that manger. Because of that manger and what's coming. He's going to sit upon that throne of David, and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. But David, that's a spiritual kingdom. It's going to be an earthly kingdom soon. Because Jesus is coming back, and he's going to set his foot on the Mount of Olives, and it's going to cleave in the midst thereof, and he's going to defeat the Antichrist and all his armies that day, and he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years from the throne of David. And then the Lord, after that 1,000 years, what's going to happen? Does it end there? No. It gets good. It gets real good after that. All the rebellion is going to be totally and completely done away with. The devil, Satan, going to be bound in chains in the lake of fire forever. Near the new heavens, the new earth, going to be established on this planet. Praise God. There's a lot of future ahead of us. There's a lot of future ahead of us. There's a lot of word of God that hasn't been fulfilled that's coming to pass. But that's why you see the turmoil today. I believe, that's what I believe, is that Satan's doing everything he can. He started way back when, back in Genesis 3:15, when God told him, he said, you'll bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. He's going to crush your head. And I never did get to that scripture, and I'm just prompted to go there. I didn't finish out my Daniel conversation last week, and I want to do that real quick. If we can go to Daniel chapter 2 and just look for a moment. Here it is, verse 44. Daniel 2:44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. That's when the Lord returns, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof. We were talking about, that was Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the great image, the head of gold, and so forth. Those were the kingdoms of the world. You can read about it in your history, your Western civilization book. I did at ABAC, and I was amazed. You know, there's Babylon. There's the Medes and the Persians. There's Greece. There's Rome. All of these kingdoms are right here listed in Daniel. And now to Daniel, it was future. It wasn't. The only one that existed at that time was Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar. But Daniel was there captive long enough to see the Medes and the Persians come in. And then the Grecian Empire came in. Under Alexander the Great. And he took over at 20 years of age, and he ruled for 13 years, and that kingdom expanded to the greatest extent known to mankind. Known to mankind. So much so that the world was speaking Greek. That's why our New Testament is written in Greek. If you want to dig into and study the Word of God and get a Strong's Concordance of the Bible, all of the New Testament words that are defined are Greek words because of that expansion. And then Rome. In times of Jesus, Rome was the world power. And that's why we read about, for instance, in Luke 2. Let me just turn there, because that's a story that I like to read this Christmas morning. Every year. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor, the Caesar. That was the world power at that time. Daniel, too, tells us the Lord's going to set up his kingdom, and all of those kingdoms prior are going to be forgotten forever. And his kingdom will last from here on. From here on to the end. There is no end. There is no end to forever, is there? That was when I was a little boy, you know, 6, 8, 10 years old, I would always go to sleep at night trying to figure out how long is forever? How long is forever? And I would, my little mind would go out, it was like a timeline. I would jump hundreds, years, thousands, years, thousands, and get to the end. And there it would go again. You never get to the end of forever. You're going to fall asleep before you figure it out. And I always did. So it was a great way to go to sleep at night. Praise God. But we need to know that God's kingdom is coming soon. It's coming. It's here now. The kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God right now in you. But there's coming a kingdom that he will set up and establish. And we need to know, and that was my point last week, is that story hasn't ended. And we see the effects of it today in the news. Even our own administration is turning against the manger. And the one who's going, the groove from that manger to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is serious business. This is very serious business we're talking about. Praise God. So that was last week. That catches us up. Today, a very serious question was asked by a man named John. John the Baptizer. John the Baptist. And we're going to have to, we need to think about the question, because he says this, and it's the sermon title, Do We Look for Another? Do we look for another? That comes from Matthew 11, verse 1 through 3. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in prison, when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, this is very sad, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? We need to reflect on John for today, and that's what we're going to do. So let's go back in time to John chapter 1, verse 29 through 36. The next day, John, seeing Jesus, coming unto him, and saith, Behold, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode unto him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. just a short time later, I don't know, months, maybe a year, maybe less, John is asking this question: art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? That's a serious moment in John's life. Very serious moment. We've all had serious moments in all of our lives. We all have had these times where our circumstances were so set against us that it caused us to look so deep within that we questioned what we knew is true. Behold, the Lamb of God. It's what John said. He knew Jesus was the Lamb of God. Let's hold that thought and let's go back a little further. John, well, let me issue one more. John said, the baptizer said this in John 3:30. He said, he, speaking of Jesus, he must increase, but I must decrease. Now he knew that. John knew that Jesus had to increase, his ministry was going to rise, but that his ministry was going to diminish. John knew that. He knew that. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? We need to understand, John was in prison at that time. Herod had married his brother's wife, and John was preaching righteousness. And he was so bold that he called out Herod. He called him out. And Herod himself, from Scripture, it doesn't appear that Herod was too concerned about that. But Herodotus, his wife, did not like that at all. She did not like that. And she gave Herod such a hard time that Herod put him in prison. Put him in prison, and we don't know for what length of time, but he was in prison. He was locked up for doing the right thing, for preaching righteousness. He knew who Jesus was. John knew Jesus from the womb. He knew Jesus from the womb. When Mary, think about that. When Mary, after she had received the visitation from the angel Gabriel, praise the Lord. She said something to the angel. Be it done unto me according to your word. Be it done unto me according to your word. She didn't know how it was going to happen. She was not unwise to the biology of life. She knew. But she was only betrothed, promised to another. To a man. So in that sense, they were espoused to one another. But they weren't married. They weren't married at the time. They had not had the consummation of the marriage. And she needed to know how this is going to happen. Because she remembered her history. She knew about Abraham and Sarah. And the promise that was given to them. And yet there was a time in their life when they grew impatient. And they tried to do for God what was only up to God to do. They tried to fix it. They tried to make it happen. And they came up with Ishmael. When Sarah presented Hagar to Abraham. She didn't want to make a mistake. Little Mary did not want to make that mistake. She needed to know how is this going to be? And the angel told her. That was not a question of unbelief or doubt. That was just, I need information. Let's not mess this up. I need information. And Gabriel gave her that information. And so in that process of time, we're going to talk about Elizabeth for a moment, Mary went to see Elizabeth, an older relative. The Bible says kinsman. They knew each other. Mary was young. She was older. But yet she went and visited. And when she did, John, 6 months ahead of Jesus in the womb, leapt in the womb and was filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb. And so we need to consider the moment that Zechariah, his dad, John the Baptist's dad, received a word from Gabriel. They were older. They were an older couple. They had no children. They wanted children. They had wanted children for a long, long time. And Zechariah was a priest. He was of the order of Abijah. And it was his turn to go into and do the temple service, the service in the temple. And he's standing by the altar, the right side of the altar, and what happens? The angel Gabriel shows up, comes right to him, and he's somewhat caught off guard. But let me see if I can find this scripture, because I want to. Here we are. Luke 1:8. Let's go there. Luke 1:8. And it came to pass, while he executed the priest's office before God, in order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. This is Zechariah. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Wow, that's quite a salutation, wasn't it? That's a lot of words. What did it say here? Thy prayer is answered. The angel said unto him, "Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard." Thy prayer is heard. Thy prayer is heard. This is a prayer that Zacharias had prayed. And I'm sure he prayed it many times. Many times. A child, a son, a child. He wanted a child. And so he had prayed this. But the angel came and brought him this news. And now we have this news. How great this son's going to be. How he's going to go before and turn hearts to the Lord, turn people to the Lord. How he's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel will turn to the Lord because of him. And he will go forth in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Verse 18. And Zechariah said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this?" How do I know this? How do I know this? "For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." Completely different than Mary's question. Completely different than Mary's question. How do I know this? Here he is. The angel's there. The angel has given him all the information, the prophesying about John. How do I know this? And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto you, to show you these glad tidings. I wonder if Gabriel was a little put out at Zechariah's question. Do angels get a little peeved? Can they get peeved? Are they just emotionless? I think they have emotions. I do. I think they do. Sure they do. Praise God. We'll find out one day. That's not doctrine I'm preaching. But he said, I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God. I bring these glad tidings to you. And behold, verse 20, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Praise God. You can't talk anymore, brother. You can't talk anymore. There's only doubt and unbelief in your mouth. I'm going to hush you up because God has to have this come to pass. This is from the presence of God. This is the word of God to you and your wife. And you present me with unbelief and doubt. You're not going to speak anymore till all these things come to pass. Folks, our words are powerful. Your words are powerful. The power, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. That tells you right there that your tongue is powerful. You're speaking either life or death. Zacharias offered nothing to the angel Gabriel, the one who stands in the presence of God. Death. That's all he offered him was death, unbelief. I have to examine my life, my heart, my mouth. What do I offer the Lord when he speaks to me? How does he speak to me? Does the angel Gabriel show up? The Lord himself does, right here. He speaks to me, right here. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, by the breath of God. This is how he speaks to us. What do we do when we hear the word? When we have the word leap off the page into our heart? How do we respond to it? How do we respond? Zacharias, we can't be too hard on him. No. Because you and I have been right where he is too often times in our lives. Do we always respond as Mary? Be it done unto me according to your word. Oh, she is such a great example for us. She's such a pure heart example of faith to us. Zacharias was an older man. Huh? He had prayed this prayer so long. Huh? He was filled with unbelief and doubt, and yet he was a minister in the temple of God. And the angel Gabriel from the very presence of God shows up in front of him. I've got glad tidings for you. How do I know this is true? Oh my. Have we done that before? Have you done that? I know I have. We have. We must all confess that we have not always followed Mary's example. What do we learn here? It's better to keep your mouth closed when the Lord gives you a word. Huh? Huh? Don't say no to the word that the Lord's given you, however great or small, however easy or hard or difficult. Don't say no to the Lord. Better to be quiet
in his presence and take it in and let him work on your heart before you let the words out of your mouth. Because if they're not, be it done unto me according to your word, then we just need to chill. We just need to quiet, be quiet before him. Praise God. Thou shalt be dumb and unable to speak until that day that these things shall be performed. Oh, the Lord had this. It was coming to pass, and Zacharias wasn't going to derail it. The Lord's going to quiet his tongue. Thou shalt be quiet till the day these things come to pass. Or till these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. They will be fulfilled in their season. We need to hold to that. The word of God will be fulfilled in their season. Now, we talked about last week, and we're going to talk about it probably again next week, that all these things happened to do what? So that the word of God is fulfilled. Now, we did read it, Matthew 1:22. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken. All this was, the Lord is going to have his word done. The Lord is going to have his word done in this world. My heart is that it be done in me. In me. That it be done in me. That I align. And we all say this collectively, but individually. I want my will to line up with his will perfectly. Perfectly. I don't want to sidestep the Lord. But what if he wants me to do this or do that? He will supply every need that you have. If he's called you to something, he's going to give you the goods in order to fulfill that call. He's not going to hold you over a barrel. He's going to provide you. All he needs is your agreement. Be it done unto me according to your word. Not, how is this going to take place? How is this going to happen? No, we don't need to be responding that way. Praise God. As believers, we must align our words, our mouth, the words of our mouth with the word of God. It has to come into perfect alignment with the Lord. Zechariah was silenced, so he would not be able to release unbelief that was in his heart. That's where unbelief resides. It doesn't just sit on the tongue. It lives in the heart. The tongue is the member that gives that unbelief power. You know, there's a scripture somewhere in the New Testament. Jesus said, he said, take no thought saying. Take no thought saying. When the ruler in the synagogue, Jairus, came and got Jesus, and they were coming, and the people from Jairus' house, Jesus and Jairus were walking. The lady with the issue of blood came along and occupied some time, and she was healed. And after that, then the people from Jairus' house came and said, trouble the master no longer. She's dead. She's dead. And Jesus immediately told him, he said, fear not. Only believe. Fear not. Don't let fear rule your tongue, Jairus. Only believe. Only believe. You know, Jairus didn't say a word. He didn't say a word in that whole episode right there. He just listened. The people from the house talked. Jesus spoke. Jairus didn't speak. He received the word from the Lord, and they went on, and the child was healed. Praise God. He spoke no unbelief over that situation. We need to learn from him too. We need to hold our tongue In spite of circumstances, whatever we see, taste, hear, smell, or feel, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, don't give it a voice. Don't give that a voice. You go with the Word of God. Praise the Lord. So Zechariah was silenced because of the unbelief that was in his heart. Now, what about John? What about John? We started with John. Let's see if we can continue. So what we're talking about here is a cure. Cure for unbelief. A cure for unbelief. You know, we just mentioned one. We didn't really call it out, but silence is a good cure for unbelief. Just don't let unbelief out. Don't let it out. As demonstrated by the angel Gabriel and Zechariah. Let me ask you a question. Does God want you silent? No. God does not want you silent, but that's being silent is better than speaking unbelief. That's what we learned from Zechariah. God doesn't want you silent. He wants you doing what Mary said. Be it done unto me, Lord, according to your word. I'm going to speak forth your word. I'm going to speak forth your word, and it's going to come to pass in my life. But if you're not able to say that out loud, then just be silent. That's better than speaking unbelief. So God doesn't want us silent, but it's better than speaking unbelief. Let's read again let's go back to Matthew 11. And I want to read a little bit more. I read you three verses. I want to read more. Matthew 11. I'm going to start at verse 1 again. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And just remember what John did. He baptized the Lord. He called him out. Thou art the Lamb slain from the foundation, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And here we are. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? What was Jesus' response? Let's look at that. Verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. These are things that were taking place right then. All of these things, the blind are receiving their sight, the lame are walking, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up. Go tell John. Go tell John what you see. But John can't see it. John hasn't seen it. He's been in prison. These are just words coming to him. But John's a man of the word. John is a man of the scriptures. John is a man that understands the word of God. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 35, verse 5 and 6. John is a man of the word. Praise the Lord. Go tell John what you're seeing. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The deaf are hear. So forth and so on. Isaiah 35, verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. This is a prophecy concerning the work of the Messiah on the earth. John knew this scripture. John understood this scripture. What is Jesus doing? He said, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whoever shall not be offended in me. What's Jesus doing here? John, art thou he, or do we look for another? John, go to the word, John. Go to the book, John. Go to the word of God, John. Read the word, remember the word, remind yourself of the word, John. This is being fulfilled, John. Don't look at your circumstances, John. Look at the word, John. John, wake up. Look at the word. Look at the word. That's what the Lord's telling us today. Quit looking at your circumstances. Quit looking at your surroundings. Quit looking at the things that should be in your mind. Look at the word. Look at the word. Look at the word. Praise God. Now let's go on just a few more verses. Verse 7. And as they departed, they were going away. They were walking away. They were out of earshot. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that went wear soft raiment are in kings' houses. But what went you out for to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, listen, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven, you and me, is greater than he. Did you hear what Jesus said about John? His disciples had already departed. His disciples had already walked away. He did not tell John's disciples to take that message to John. He told John, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up. He was taking John back to the word. He was taking John back to the word. He wasn't patting John on the back and saying, John, you're this, you're that. No. Feel good messages don't build faith. The word of God is what strengthens faith in your times of trial. Not your great accomplishments. And I know you there are great accomplishments in this room. But those aren't what the Lord is going to steer you to when you are in a time of need. He's going to steer you right back to the word. Right back to the scriptures. Right back. He turned him back to the word. Go and show John. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Compliments don't cure unbelief. They don't cure unbelief. I like to get them as much as you do. But they don't cure unbelief. Feel-good message is not a cure for unbelief. The word of God is the cure. Listen, when doubt and unbelief come calling. And listen, John was the greatest Old Testament prophet. Jesus just said that. And yet in prison, he looked around and saw his circumstances. And they overwhelmed him in that moment. And he asked Jesus, are you he, or do we look for another? And John, his history was, his whole life was with Jesus from the very womb. When Mary greeted Elizabeth, John leaped in his mother's womb at the greeting, being in the presence of the Messiah. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And his whole life of preaching out there in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, upon whom the Holy Spirit descends. That is he. And there he was. There it was. All of it was fulfilled in John's eyes, in his presence. But yet, he saw the circumstances of his life and he questioned, are you he, or do we look for another? But Jesus, thank you for Jesus. He turned John right back to the Word of God. Folks, that's where we got to live. That's where we've got to dwell. That's where we've got to remain. The Word of God. The promise of the Word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How did it end for John? He was beheaded. He was beheaded. We know that. It's not so much how it ends. That's not the end of the story for John. Hey, my Uncle Bill Coleman passed away yesterday morning. 93. My dad's younger brother by 6 years, a good man, a fine Christian man. He's there with John now. Folks, this life that we live has its ups and downs for every life, for everybody. That's not the epitaph, the ups, the downs. That's not the epitaph. The epitaph is the Word of God in your heart. Hold it dear. Protect it. Keep it. Guard it. Keep that Word in there. Keep it alive. Keep it alive. Keep it alive in you. And let's be like Mary. Be it done unto me according to your word. Now let us not be like Zacharias. How's this going to happen, Lord? No, better to be quiet than to speak unbelief. But it's better to have the Word of God in your heart and speak it forth out of your mouth. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen to that today? Praise the Lord. Well, let's learn from John, Mary, Zacharias, Elizabeth, the Lord Jesus himself. And let's hold his word in our heart and keep it there this Christmas season. And not just keep it for ourselves, but let's share it with others. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody here? Let's bow our heads. Is there anybody here today that doesn't know Jesus? You have not made Jesus Lord in your life. You have not received him as Savior. Or if you have, it's been so long that you've forgotten and you've walked away and the relationship isn't alive in you. If you want to stoke that flame and get that fire burning brightly, I'm here to pray with you. I'm here to pray with you. So if you need to get reignited in the kingdom of God and just turn your heart and life over to the Lord Jesus, come down and I'll pray with you right now. Anybody? Praise the Lord. Anybody? Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, Lord, we love you and we praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, your word is alive in us. Lord, and we're going to be like your mother, your earthly mother, Mary. And we're going to say, be it done unto me according to your word. And Lord, and we're going to even be like John. And we're going to turn to your word, Lord, and not walk away. We're going to hold to it. We're going to cling to it. We're going to keep it alive in our heart, Lord. Now, Lord, as we go out, we're going to share your word with others. Lord, you, where you lead, I will follow. That's our song as we go forth. Where you lead, we will follow. Our footsteps, Lord, falling perfectly aligned with yours as you lead the way. And Lord, as we meet folks this week, we're going to encourage them, Lord, in the Lord, in the Word, to turn to the Lord, to look to you, to allow you, Lord, to be the author and the finisher of their faith. We thank you for your goodness and your blessing in our lives. We thank you for this day, for ministering to us and being with us. We give you glory and praise and honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.